Welcome, Impactful Parents. It's time for the Impactful Parenting Podcast, where I give you parenting tips and resources to make you a more impactful parent to your school-aged child. I am your host, Christina Campos. Welcome, Impactful Parents, to the Impactful Parents Inspire and Learn series, where real parents come on and tell their real stories of inspiration and learning, because a wise man learns from his mistakes, but a wiser man learns from other people's mistakes. So let's learn today from our guest speaker, Alicia Lyons. And Alicia is going to talk to us today about her experience with her child actually getting molested by a babysitter. So we would like to hear her story and see how we can learn from it. It's an important topic to talk about. And I even just saying it out loud takes my breath away, honestly. And I want to hear your story. So let's start with that. What happened? How did this all come about?
My son was about four years old. It was right before he went to kindergarten. I had hired a babysitter. I've been self-employed and a single mom for the majority of his life. And so I've relied on babysitters. And I had found a babysitter that I really liked in while he was around 2 or 3 years old. And then I needed a babysitter again at this particular time when he was four. And that babysitter wasn't available, but she said that her mom and her sister was 12 or 13 years old. And I didn't have a problem with that because mom was always there too. So at this particular time, my roommate and I were moving, and we needed a little extra money for the move. And so he went to her, leave was just the one time. And then I was going to start using her more regularly for like my Monday night meetings and such. And I was about to take him there, and I told him we were going to her house. And he said that he didn't want to go there. And I asked why. And he said, oh, they don't have enough toys for me. And they, you know, she's mean to me. And I was like, well, what do you mean? And he just broke it down into tears. And I don't remember the exact words. I do remember the exact, but it's kind of graphic, so I won't say it, but basically he told me that she was inappropriate with him. So I didn't take him back there. I filed a child protective service report because in my mind, a 13-year-old doesn't do that to a 4-year-old if she hasn't been abused herself. And I filed a police report. Nothing ever happened with either. They found that everything, it was unfounded. There was no proof of anything. And so that's been a little bit on the frustrating side, especially because I wanted her to get help. And so the family denied anything ever happened. And that was where that ended up.
It's shocking, honestly, because you don't expect that from any child, because I'm going to still say that 13-year-old is a child, let alone a 13-year-old girl. I don't know why I'm stereotyping like that, to be honest with you. It just feels like, but I know that I am, and it's a shocking thing. I got to imagine that your reaction had a million feelings inside. But what do you think your more primary feelings were when you first found out? If somebody is listening and they can resonate with your story, I just want them to understand that they're not alone. So how did that make you feel?
I mean, shock is kind of the first thing that you feel. And then I think I went into anger when they denied that anything happened, because the language that he used to describe what happened isn't something that a 4-year-old makes up. It's not something that a 4-year-old really has any awareness of at all. So yeah, I felt a little bit of pity for, you know, the 13-year-old. 'Cause like you said, the stereotype, 100% little girls don't do that to little boys. And that was where my mind was. And that's, you know, how it happened. As far as I'm concerned, is like, I had no idea that that's something I needed to vet for, especially when an adult is home. So, it's a lot of emotions that it's hard to even describe, but yeah, anger was at the top.
Yes. I can't even imagine. I can't even empathize with it, because I just want to hear your story, since nothing like this has happened to me that I know of in my family, which is why I feel it's so important to have you on, to be able to say this, to tell this from your perspective. Immediately now I want to go to your son. How is he?
He's perfect. I'm a little biased. No, he's fine. He doesn't remember a lot of it. And so as much as I talk about it, I try not to go into detail about what happened, to protect his privacy in the future. He'll grow up one day and hear my podcasts and whatnot. But also in this moment, he doesn't remember anything that happened. He does remember that she was mean to him. She says that she locked him outside. They were in an apartment, and she would lock him outside for, you know, he says for hours, but he doesn't have any concept of time as a 4-year-old, but he has a really good memory, but that he doesn't remember.
That's very fortunate. That's great.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm definitely not sad about it. And I'm like you, nothing like that had happened to anyone in my family. It wasn't even something that was really on my radar. My roommate at the time, it had happened to her as a child, and her mom either didn't believe her or didn't react the way that I did. You know, it kept happening even after she told her mom, and it was like, yeah, no, he's never going to see her again. He remembers what her apartment looks like, so he'll see her apartment in different places. Never like where it actually is, but he's like, oh, that looks like her apartment. You know, he remembers her name. So
I want to commend you for not only acting swiftly, believing your child, but mostly for having empathy for this 13-year-old girl to understand that is obviously, well, I guess maybe not necessarily obviously, but to me, obviously, a learned behavior that you were afraid for the 13-year-old girl just as much, maybe not just as much as your son, but you were afraid for her and wanted to help her. And not a lot of people would go on there. And I just want to commend you for that, because that's wonderful that you thought that and did try to help. But looking back, is there anything that you would have done differently in any of the scenario other than not have gone to that babysitter to begin with, obviously, right? But is there anything else you would have done?
Well, I you know, in my worldview, hurt people. And that's why I went there in the first place. That's not typical 13-year-old behavior. And again, stereotypically, especially for a girl. And as far as anything that I would do differently, you know, I never talked to any of the family ever again. And if I was instructed to not contact them, there's a huge part of me that wishes I had ignored that and talked to them and asked them, you know, what's going on? You know, here's these accusations. And the way that he A, explained it, and B, his reaction, it's not made up. That it was instantaneous tears. And so there's that huge frustration for me that I don't know exactly what happened. And so if I could do that differently, then I would.
Let's talk a little bit about some mom guilt, because when something like this happens to your child, we all want to protect our kids from any kind of pain. And it's unrealistic to protect them 100%. So we're going to experience some mom guilt. Did you in this scenario?
I did. And because of how I was raised and how I experienced feelings, I didn't realize it right away. So I had this checklist of things to do that all pertained to taking care of him. And I didn't think about myself in any way, shape, or form in that scenario. And I don't know that many moms would think about, you know, oh, I should probably check in with myself. Am I feeling guilty? How do I feel about this situation? Like, that's not how moms are taught to be moms.
Yeah.
It's not
how we protected your child first. You're right. You were in like, I'm in my doing my child first, his needs first. Mm-hmm. Of course you didn't think of yourself.
Right.
That doesn't surprise me.
It didn't happen to me. You know, we don't, as moms, we don't experience our moms putting themselves first. Mm-hmm. I never have seen my mom put herself first. Not once to this day, you know? So, I'm hoping, like, that's part of the platform that I like to speak from is like, yeah, we got to put ourselves first because you can't pour from an empty cup. And so I had this guilt festering for probably 3 years before I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And because of my defense net mechanism is I'm going to leave you before you can hurt me. That's just how I've been. Hopefully not anymore. I haven't had the opportunity that to be a thing any recently, but after I realized I was feeling guilty and B was able to work with a life coach and let go of the guilt. It was after I was able to let it go that I realized that what it was doing with my relationship with my son, because I was projecting into the future that this little boy that I love more than anything on earth was going to come back to me one day and say, how come you didn't protect me? And there was no way that I could protect from that, except for my defense mechanism is I'm going to leave you first. And so physically I was there, but emotionally there was a wedge that was going on between us that I didn't realize until after the guilt was gone. And so that's why mom guilt is such a passion of mine, because it's something that we don't even realize how it's affecting us until it's gone.
And reiterate again to the audience how you dealt with the mom guilt so you can rid of that, so you can rebuild your relationship with your son.
So we went to a doctor's appointment. And it was something unrelated, but I brought it up to the doctor just in case it was connected. And they wanted to go through the whole rigmarole of filing a child protective services and they wanted to start it all over again. And I got really irrationally angry. And I'd been working on myself for, you know, a couple of years at that point. And so I don't get irrationally angry anymore. I get rationally angry. But when I realized, I was like, oh, this is excessive anger that I'm feeling right now. There's something going on. And so I was working with a life coach. I was in the process of becoming a life coach and going to training. And so I texted my coach and I said, I think I might feel guilty about something. And so when we went to this event, we had, they do a demonstration of helping someone get over guilt. And when she asked who's got guilt, everybody in the room raised their hand except for me, because I had forgotten again. Like, that's just how my brain was like, we're not going to deal with this. And it was just pushing it to the side. And I was like, oh yeah, there was something I felt guilty about. And I raised my hand and I said, I let my son get hurt. And I watched her, she was standing in front of the room, and I watched her just like almost fall over because of how those words impacted her. And so we went through this guilt and shame exercise. And I mean, it was like having somebody take 500 pounds off my shoulders. And then it was like, oh, I see mom guilt everywhere. But it took some time for, you know, I released it, and then I'd pick it back up, and then I'd put it back down, and then I'd pick it back up a little bit, and then I put it back down. And so it's been a process of letting it go. But as I've helped more moms do the same, it's getting a little bit easier. And the more I talk about it, the easier it gets as well.
I appreciate you so much for being candid about how difficult it is to not only recognize that there's an issue when you want to deny it so badly, but also to admit the ebbs and flows and mountains and valleys of recovering from such a traumatic event, because it was not only traumatic for your son, it is a traumatic for the entire family. You being a single mom directly to you.
It's funny, like hearing the word, molestation, it's like, it's not even a word that I let really define what happened, even though that's what it was. And it's like, that's part of the, like, my self-protection. I'm like, oh no, I can't, that's not what it was. That's absolutely what it was, but it's not how I really define it when I'm thinking about it.
It's, again, more defense mechanisms, right? Like, you don't want, your brain doesn't want to go there.
Right. It's still protection. I can't wrap my brain around that happening to my son. And yeah.
But are you worried that it's going to happen again?
I'm not. I'm a lot more selective with who watches him. And now that he's in school, I just work while he's in school. I'm not so worried about it, but like my spidey sense tingles when his dad is working for a summer camp this summer, and he wanted him to go. And it was like that anger like went up, and I was like, you didn't even talk to me about this first. And I realized it was from, I don't know these people. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know who he's going to be around. Like, even the Boy Scouts of America is being sued for child molestation.
Oh yeah. It's everywhere. And you just,
it's everywhere.
You don't know.
Yeah.
So and it is super important to screen people, but there's only so much that a parent can do. Right. And
I was significantly more trusting before this happened. And, you know, if I knew then what I know now, it wouldn't have happened, you know, but that's part of the journey. So it's really easy to go down rabbit holes of like, well, where could I have seen, you know, how could I have known? How could I have done differently? How could I have, you know, it's really easy to go down the mom guilt, beat yourself up path. Super easy, but it's not helpful to me, my happiness, my son. Like, it doesn't help any of it. Doesn't change any of it. So
I got one last question for you is, does the pediatricians that know about what happened, are they concerned about him having any residual effects as he approaches adolescence?
Nobody's said anything about it. He's been in counseling a couple of times. When my friend passed away, it was really traumatic for him. So he spent a year with a counselor, just learning how to talk about that. It never came up with her, that I'm aware of. So I don't think that he's, you know, got issues with it, but one of the things that I'm really passionate about being his parent is keeping the lines of communication open. And so, you know, anytime he says, can I ask you something? I'll say, you can ask me anything. Can I tell you something? You can tell me anything. Like, just really embedding that into his subconscious that mom's the first person that I'm going to tell stuff to, you know? And, so when school was happening, he wasn't telling me that they had assignments to do. And so he was missing some assignments, and I didn't like get mad at him or yell at him about it. And I said, okay, I was trusting you to tell me that things needed to get done and you didn't. So I'm going to be, you know, more involved in your school. And every single day since the quarter started, he's been like, Mom, I have an assignment today. So it's like, there's something about, you know, having that compassionate listening and knowing he's not going to get in trouble about stuff, that he's more willing to be honest about things that could be potentially problematic.
That's a message that I am always trying to convey to my parents on The Impactful Parent, that to instill that type of standard really young, because it will become super beneficial as they grow and they need to tell you things. But it's that message of how you respond to when a child is being vulnerable to you, whether it's being vulnerable because they're going to tell you a secret, or being vulnerable to you because they made a mistake, or being vulnerable to you for what, like, it doesn't matter, like what they did something
sharing
wrong.
Sharing their emotions, yes. Like sharing your emotions can be vulnerable in our culture.
Yes. Anytime a child's vulnerable to you, instead, you cannot react angry or outraged or really much other than surprise. There's not really other emotions that you can show the child, even though you're feeling a million things inside. Like, you want to keep the level head, keep it cool, because if you overreact, or especially if you get angry at a child, with a lesser offense, can't even tell you, hey, I messed up and wrecked my bike, then they're definitely not going to tell you when they messed up and wrecked the car later.
Right.
You know, if you're screaming, or
You're going to jump down their throat about, you know, underage drinking, they're not going to call you to let you know that they can't drive drunk and now they're going to get kill themselves or someone else, you know,
because they need a ride home.
Right. Yeah.
They can't be afraid to come to you. And the fear comes by the parents' reaction to when they are being vulnerable. Yeah. So it's such an important message, and so much more important when you put it in this context of how important it was for your son to be able to come to you now and in the future.
And his dad one time, I don't even remember why his dad was saying, don't tell mom, but I called him up because my son told me and I called him up and I said, hey, don't ever tell him not to tell me something ever, because he needs to be able to tell me anything. I need to be the one that he can come to, you know, he needs that person that he trusts, and you're telling him I'm not trustworthy by saying, don't tell mom.
If people resonated with your story today, how can they get a hold of you?
So I'm Mom Support Coach on all the platforms. And then I have a website that's my name, alishalyons.com. And I write a blog where I talk about, you know, guilt issues, communication issues, all the things that moms struggle with. I write, that's what my blog's about. And then I have, my email is coachalishalyons@gmail.com.
Thank you so much. This has been so inspirational to me. I know that others are going to feel the same way. Audience, if you have an inspirational story and want to share your story with the audience so that others can learn from you, please go to the Impactful Parent website, which is theimpactfulparent.com, and sign up. It's on the Work With Me page at the bottom, and I want to learn from you too. But until next time, you got this, parents. I'm just here to help.
Thank you for listening today. Remember to subscribe and share this podcast with a friend. And don't forget, the Impactful Parenting Podcast is an extension of the Impactful Parent community. So go to the Impactful Parent website and sign up for a 30-day challenge. Browse the free resources or register for the weekly newsletter so that you don't miss a parenting tip that can help you and your family. Thanks for listening today, and go to theimpactfulparent.com. See you next episode.